Let us pray. Jesus said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Yes, Lord, you know that we love you. And so we pray that in this time of hearing your word, and then in reaffirming our promises and breaking bread and wine, drinking wine together, that we will find new ways of loving each other and you more deeply. Amen.
Amen.
So good to be here with you this morning. And I want to say to our confirmation candidates how special it is to be with you and to have been with you yesterday when we spent time together learning from each other and learning more about God. You've been in my prayers for many weeks now, and I will continue to pray for you every day after today. And just to say, as I said to you yesterday, you don't have to be nervous. This is a day of happiness and joy. And even I had a few butterflies in my stomach this morning, so that's okay. But don't let the butterflies affect the joy. There's something about a campfire, isn't there, that just brings people together. Whether it's the flames, the warmth, the opportunity to be together in community, there is something about sitting around a campfire that just has a special place in all of our lives. Our family doesn't have at Lang Lake, at our cottage, an area outside where we build a bonfire because there's too many trees and we're all too paranoid about the forest burning down. But right in the middle of our cottage, we've got a wood stove. And that wood stove has become our campfire at Lang Lake. We've told stories around it. We've slept in front of it. We've roasted marshmallows in it. Important things have happened at that fire in our home. Stories have been passed down from one generation to another, and new stories shared. And so I asked the candidates yesterday when we met in the chapel, what about you? Are campfires important in your family? And all of them said that there were two things that were important about campfires. One were stories that are told, and the other is food shared. Stories and food around a campfire. And so, if there was a theme of my sermon today, it would be the campfires of Holy Week and Easter. And the first fire that we encounter in the story of the Passion of Christ is a fire on a Thursday evening in a courtyard. Jesus has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's been brought to the high priest Caiaphas' house. The gospel tells us that Peter followed, stayed at a distance, and some people stood around a fire keeping warm. And three times someone says to Peter, "You know this man. You are one of his disciples, are you not? Surely you are one of his followers." And three times Peter says, "I am not. I do not know the man. I say to you, I do not know who he is." Even though there was tremendous warmth in that fire, I suspect the air was cold and dark. I want to bring you to the gospel we've just listened to. And I want to read a poem by a man by the name of Michael Simmons Roberts, who says this: "On that final night, his meal was formal. Lamb with bitter herbs of endive, chervil, bread with olive oil and jars of wine. Now on Tiberius's shore, he grills a carp and catfish on a charcoal fire. This is not hunger. This is resurrection. He eats because he can and wants to taste the scales, the moist flakes of the sea, to rub the salt into his wounds. The story we heard in our gospel today is no ordinary miracle. The fishermen have just caught an enormous load of fish, fish of all kinds, 153 different kinds, in fact, the gospel tells us. The Jesus proclaimed by John draws or drags in a very diverse, eclectic collection of followers. This fire that Peter sees from the boat on the beach is what I call the fire of certainty. Peter is the one who recognizes who it is. Peter is the one who jumps out of the boat and dashes to the shore and finds Jesus at the fire. And then they share in the most ordinary meal of the day, breakfast. I don't know about you, but breakfast in my home is not an elaborate affair. It's the same thing, day in and day out. But in that moment of sharing breakfast, something extraordinary happens. They realize who it is. Important things happen around fireplaces, around tables. There is a beautiful story at the end of Luke's gospel about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when a stranger walks with two disciples on the road. And when they get to Emmaus, Jesus is going to continue on, but the disciples say, "Come and stay with us, for it is evening." And he joins them at table, and they share in a meal. And as Jesus breaks the bread, they suddenly realize who is at table with them. And so there's another fire, the fire that was burning in their hearts. Those disciples say, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the road?" And so the fire can be the fire on the outside, but that fire that's burning within us. Jesus is at table with us whenever we break bread together, at home, in our families, at church, in Eucharist, in the time of fellowship after the service. Never underestimate the power of the meal to bring people together. Jesus knew that. I want to tell you a story of one of my priests in the Diocese of Algoma. He has five children, and they try to eat dinner together in the evening. But like most children, most families, they're an extremely busy family, and so it's difficult to make that happen. A few weeks ago, they invited their daughter's boyfriend to come and have dinner with them at home. And after the main course, the boyfriend said, "I'm just going to go for a smoke outside." And so he went and stood outside at the back door, and his girlfriend went and joined him. And he said, "Do you do this often?" And she said, "What?" And he said, "Eat dinner together." And she said, "We try to do it every night." And he said, "Well, I'm 19, and this is the first time for me." when we break bread together as families and as communities, something extraordinary is happening. Preparing for this sermon, I came across a letter that Father Bill Ellum had written to me after Elizabeth Gates died. It was a letter, I believe, that I read at Elizabeth's funeral service. And I've taken out just a few lines of it because I want you to hear the significance of what Father Bill Ellum is saying. Whenever we visited Elizabeth and Del in their home back in the 60s and 70s, we took great delight in her serving grilled cheese sandwiches for lunch. And this had become a conversation piece between us. It seems frivolous to speak of this now, but it really did become a symbol of our friendship, as you might imagine happening with Elizabeth. A grilled cheese sandwich at a table becomes community, and Jesus is present. The next fire is the Easter Vigil fire. Fire within us that is passed on. I gathered with clergy and lay outside our cathedral church on Easter evening, and we lit a massive bonfire. It was very special and it was very beautiful. And there weren't that many of us because we're still trying to build up that deanery Easter Vigil service. There were probably 50 of us, that's all. And people were disappointed about the numbers. But we were standing in the columbarium and I said, here we are with all the saints. The place is packed. And when we went into the church and the light of Christ was passed in the darkness, from person to person and eventually became light, we then renewed our baptismal promises as you will do today and I will do today. And those baptismal promises remind us of three things. The first is that in baptism, the heavens are opened and the veil between ourselves and God is torn apart and there is no end to our friendship, our relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing that happens in baptism is that God's Spirit comes into us, and we then become the place where people can encounter God. And we are never alone because we have God's Spirit deep within us. And the third thing that happens is that we are named as God's beloved sons and daughters. From that moment on, we are marked with the cross of Christ and named as his forever, and nothing can ever, ever change that. That would have been a really good place to end the gospel reading today. But it didn't end there, because Jesus and Peter still had a little bit of unfinished business, didn't they? And so after they have been nourished, after they have been filled, Jesus takes Peter aside and has that difficult conversation with him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter gets annoyed. But I think in his mind, he was thinking back to that evening on a Thursday where he had said three times, I do not know him. I do not know him. I do not know him. And then Jesus gives Peter the beautiful commissioning of going and feeding and tending and caring for others. But Peter doesn't do it until he himself has first been filled. And that's why the meal always comes first, and then the commissioning, then the sending into the world. It's how we do it in our Eucharist service. food for the journey. This is what we need for ourselves before we can head out to share the good news, to feed the lambs and the sheep. The church started around a table, and this is the reason we continue to gather in community today. And our job is very simply to imitate the Good Shepherd. The way I described it to our young people yesterday was to clothe ourselves with Christ. And so I wonder, Father Aidan, if you would come and hold up this cloth so I can tell everybody what we did yesterday. This cloth became our campfire yesterday. You can see the rays coming down, and we pretended that that was the campfire. We had a candle in the middle of it, and we sat around the campfire telling stories and listening to stories. And then it changed a little bit, because I reminded the young people, or I told them, that this, in fact, is no ordinary cloth. This is a cope or a cloak which was given to one of the primates of the Anglican Church of Canada, Ted Scott, and he wore it when he went around on his visits. Now, Archbishop Ted Scott died in a car accident in the Diocese of Algoma in Moosonee on one of his travels, and he was friends with one of the priests in Algoma. And Ted Scott's family gave this cope to the priest, who gave it to Bishop Stephen, who gave it to me on my consecration day. And so I explained that whenever a bishop wears a cope, they are clothing themselves with Christ, because that's the job of the bishop and the priest, to be the person to show others what Christ is like. But it's not just the priest or the bishop or the deacon's job, it's all of our jobs. And so I dressed each one of our young people in the cope and asked them to clothe themselves like Christ. But I said to them that the qualities of Christ are qualities we have on the inside of us, not on the outside. And so, Aidan, if you'll turn that around. Sasha and Michael and Taya and Priscilla and Laurie all wrote the qualities of Christ that they would like to have in their lives. Generosity, humility, love, kindness, patience, not being judgmental. And each one of them has chosen five of those qualities which they're going to try and live their lives as recommitted Christians today. And you'll see their posters in the fellowship hall afterwards, and I want you to ask them why they chose those words. Thank you, Aidan. Each one of us are called to be humble shepherds, to look after others who have been given to us in our lives, not seeking power or wealth or status, but to be servant leaders, ready to give our lives and to share our lives with the poor and the poor in spirit. So whoever you are today, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, managers and workers and co-workers, students and professors and teachers, friends and neighbors and colleagues, deacons and priests and archbishops, we must remember as we care for others that although others are entrusted to us, they always belong to God first. Our job is to keep working on our own lives, nourishing ourselves to become more and more like Jesus, and then guiding others to him in love. This is no ordinary story. It is a resurrection story that impacts each one of us as we go about the daily ordinariness of our lives. And so, as we live into the joy of the resurrection and continue in our service now with the baptism and confirmation of our young people, I want you not to be amazed, but to expect that Jesus is going to show up at every barbecue and every meal, especially on those days that you have been out fishing all night and have caught nothing. May you hear Jesus saying to you, throw your net onto the other side of the boat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.